It's been a long time. Been a long time. Been a long, lonely, 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 lonely time.
Some things are better when they rock. Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos. Play 24-7 with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Been a long time since you rock and rolled? Visit us in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida, or online at SeminoleHardRock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's Coolest Conversations podcast time, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. Joining me today for our chat is Patricia Vaughn, who the New York Times describes as the Renaissance woman of Austin, Texas. Among her many talents is singing and songwriting, and she is responsible for our recent coolest song in the world, Santa's on a Rampage, off her Christmas album, My Favorite Holiday. We'll hear a bit of that tune now, followed by my interview with Patricia on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. Rampage is gonna make the party tonight. This is the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for today's Coolest Conversations. Joining me is singer, songwriter, actress, activist, and filmmaker, Patricia Vaughn. How are you, Patricia?
I'm doing great. Gracias por todo.
Ole! Oh, hey! Your holiday album is called My Favorite Holiday, and it features our coolest song in the world this week, Santa's on a Rampage. And honestly, I was not aware you're also the sister of film director Robert Rodriguez until I started preparing for our chat today, and then listening to the album, you do a cut on there called Carol of Bells. It features you and some of your sisters. So then, you know, sisters is plural. And then I'd sing this short film that your brother had done, Bedhead, and it's got sisters and brothers. So, I mean, there's a lot of kids adding up here. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
Exactly. There are 10 of us. There are 5 boys, 5 girls, and all of my sisters are on my Christmas album singing Carol of the Bells a cappella. I'm so thrilled about that. It just invites everyone into our home, what it was like growing up in a big family, what Christmas was like at home. When you hear this song, you hear the spirit.
So this big family, the holidays got to be a crazy time. What was Christmas time like for you growing up?
You know, when I was a child, my mother loved teaching us the mariachi tune. She'd pull out her Spanish guitar and she would teach us our second language, Spanish. You know, we grew up as English as our first language. But then when Christmas rolled around, it was, you know, we need a little Christmas right this very minute. She taught us those harmonies and we had big candy canes coming down the staircase, like this big production. And we would perform in front of our aunts and uncles. We'd even perform for, like, if the postman came by, we would perform in front of him and a little school recital. So we were like the quintessential Maria von Trapp of the Sound of Music. And we were like the Mexican Von Trapp family singers at home. But that was always a joy. It was one of my favorite childhood memories, my connection to our heritage as Mexican-American, Latinos, was through music. Can you imagine how powerful that would be to, they would always invite mariachis to our house for any occasion, but to see that live in your living room, mariachis performing and you singing along because you knew the songs because my mother taught it to us. So, so powerful.
Well, I wanted to ask you about, you know, family traditions, but this right here, what you're describing is pretty powerful, but were there other things too that, that your family would do outside of music-related things? Was there special dishes or?
You know, movies. In fact, that's why my brother became a maverick director. You can imagine my father to raise 10 children. My mother was she got her nursing degree and would work the night shift. When I was in high school, she went back to work, but she was a stay-at-home mom for many, many years. My dad was a traveling salesman selling cookware door to door for 39 years, all over Texas. That was a hard job for him. Can you imagine being turned away? So that on weekends, my mother, as a diversion, she would have us sing with her, but she would take us to the old Revival movie theater house here in San Antonio called the Almost Theater. And we would watch double features of Hitchcock or The Sound of Music, Gone with the Wind. They would bring back the old classic MGM, golden age of Hollywood movies. To see that as a child was just overwhelming, and it really impacted us, impacted my brother to make his own movies. The Red Shoes, the ballet, I love incorporating dance into my live performances. Mm-hmm. I love making music videos with every album I've made. All my albums are bilingual. So all those childhood influences come into play for my music as my brother's movies. He always had a soundtrack, you know, with my songs. They always have, you know, music videos for every album. And on this album, which is a miracle to my Lord, you know, and Savior, my baby Jesus, it was only supposed to be a single. That was my intention. And it was divine intervention that said, no, do one for me. You know, I could hear that voice saying, I helped you move to New York and start your band. I helped you make 7 albums on your own label. Will you do one for me? So since March of this year, my amazing producer, Rick Del Castillo, helped me produce 10 original songs, reaching out to my friends, Rosie Flores, David Grissom to co-write, Alex Ruiz to co-write, Ruben Blades to co-write with me. That's a miracle. And I really wanted to share that to the world that, you know, that's where this album came from. That's another miracle, if you allow me to say. But all last year, when we were in lockdown COVID, Manfred, no one had jobs. No one was leaving their house. So I started in my hometown of San Antonio, which made headlines all over the nation. It's got the highest poverty rate right here in my hometown of San Antonio. I started a food drive. They gave me, the San Antonio Food Bank gave me my own grassroots fundraising page to try to raise money, because a dollar equals 7 meals. And by Christmas of last year, we raised enough to feed 75,000 people, over $10,000, just with my sphere of influence alone. And that gratitude towards the people that were giving money and donations or just listening to my live stream every Friday on my Facebook fan page inspired this album. So I tell them, you had everything to do with this. You all listening or giving inspired every word, inspired me to write so fast. And my goal is to have a video, music video, which I love, for every song on the album by Christmas. And I'm on video number 8. A lot of them shot on an iPhone, just like Santa's on a Rampage. It was shot on an iPhone. All the musicians that played on it are in the video. Roland Sally from Chris Isaac's band shot himself on his iPhone during soundcheck, sent it to me. I shot Rosie and Tommy Price on drums in the studio when they came in, and Rick and myself. But it's amazing how when you really focus on something and have a faith that you can really make it happen in a short amount of time. So that is the story behind this album, all because
we'll speak more specifically about Santa's on the Rampage in a moment. But the song that I'm going to double check here, that you said initially the idea was to do a single, and that song is Santa's on the Way, right? How did that?
It's the first track on the album.
Right. How did that go from being, let's just do a single, to, well, no, let's go ahead and make this an album. What was the inflection point there?
Okay. Well, last Christmas, when we reached the $10,000 mark with my grassroots fundraising page for the San Antonio Food Bank, it was Christmas time. And I was like, all of my albums are original, Manfred. All of my albums are original. So I wanted to write a Christmas song for my peeps, you know, for my people. And I said, this is for you. Thank you so much for giving. I said, I'm singing it a cappella because it's not really finished yet. And it was Santa's on his way. And, you know, Christmas time is here again. Que felicidad. And so the new year came and we're still in COVID, lockdown COVID. So I sent that song to my producer on my guitar. And I said, let's send it to Scott Plunkett, our dear friend who played on my last album. He plays piano for Chris Isaak. Well, I said, let's just do a piano and vocal, very quarantine stripped down. He sent it back sounding like a Nelson Riddle orchestra. I mean, he pulled strings and horns from his keyboards and did a beautiful orchestration arrangement. It blew our minds. Rick and I were looking at each other saying, what is this? And I just said, oh my gosh. And then Scott said, let's write a song together for your album. I said, album? This is supposed to be a single. I said, but let's write a song. So on this album, Christ Child, we co-wrote, which is a piano and vocal. So you'll see what I was going for initially, but what I got was Steve Ferroni signing on, Carmine Rojas from David Bowie's band signing on. And I met Stephen Ferroni and Carmine in New York City when I started my band all those years ago in 1990 when I was covering shifts as a co-check girl for my sister, Angela. My sister's on this album. And so it's so amazing how it's, you know, it all comes together in a circle. All my friends that I met as a co-check girl at the China Club are on this album.
And well, I want to interrupt a second to ask you about the going to New York thing. So New York Times has called you the Renaissance Woman of Austin, Texas. You know, you head up to New York, you moved to New York around 1990. And I was wondering, was that to pursue music or film? Because another thing recently, we mentioned your brother being a director, but didn't you win Best Actress at the 2020 Cannes International Independent Film Festival?
I took my brother's master class. Well, to answer your question, I moved to New York to pursue the arts, dancing. I definitely wanted to start a rock and roll band. That's why my sister working at the China Club, that was my first gig, was at the China Club. And I met my guitar player that plays on my other albums, Robert LaRoche at the China Club. On this album, though, I didn't want any of my musicians in quarantine in the studio. So that's why they all did it from their own home studios, Stephen and Carmine and Tommy. This short film I recently did, now this is many years later, I did pursue music in New York, but recently I took my brother's master class and I really wanted to go into that world of film because I love making music videos. I love producing them. Sometimes I get behind my iPhone to shoot them. But he said, you know, take my master class and make your first film. So it was a 4-minute film. And I had my sister, Angela, before COVID. She was my leading actress because it was because of my sister, Angela, that allowed me to move to New York. She took me under her wing back when I was barely out of my teens. She helped me, you know, find work in New York. And I lived in Manhattan for 11 years and started my band with transplanted Texans in the concrete canyons of New York. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for her, my sister, I would be a totally different person. She really took me under her wing. But yeah, the movie is recent and is my sister, Angela, that won Best Actress in four film festivals. And you know, I mean, let's face it.
The film though, that was directed, edited, and you wrote, right?
Yes, I wrote it. My brother taught in his masterclass how you have to wear many hats. And his big influence was John Carpenter, right? From New York. And he wore many hats, but then you specialize in what you can specialize in because just learn as much as you can. So yeah, I wrote it, directed it, edited it. I love editing. I edit most of my music videos. And then I had my friend Aaron Lee Lopez produce it and Steven Gutierrez do the sound. But it was so exciting to enter into that realm because it's always a bit of anxiety doing something entirely different. But it's like, put on the blindfold and jump.
So you've also got this film aspect to you now, harking back to this Renaissance Woman, a title from the New York Times had given you. But you go to New York, and one of the things to do there is to pursue music. You're there for about 10 years, did you say?
11 years.
So then why did you head back to Texas?
You know, because I wanted to tour Europe. I wanted to tour more. When you're in New York, you can only play certain venues certain times. Like, they don't allow you to play within 2 or 3 weeks of each other, right? Yeah. You can only go so far, but Texas was its own country at one time, remember? And you can, let's put it this way, you can go through 4 European countries in the same amount of time that it takes you to drive from where I'm sitting in San Antonio to Lubbock, Texas.
The other thing about touring in Europe, of course, is that you're treated much better as a musician.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you know, if you're playing, if you go in to play a gig in New York, if you're lucky, you got friends there you can sleep on the floor with, right? I mean, there's no hospitality of any sort for any, you know, beginning band or baby band. Whereas if you're playing in Europe, then part of the deal is the promoters will provide you a place to stay, or a hotel or private accommodations that are generally as good as a hotel. And you're also paid on top of that, you know?
Correct. Correct. And I learned that early on before I even went to Europe on my own. It was in 2002 when I moved back to Texas, and it was my tour with my hero, Tito La Riva of Tito and Tarantula. They were in a band called The Cruzados. And on my debut album, I wrote a tribute song called El Cruzado for them, for the homage to their music. He heard the demo on the set of Desperado, the film that my brother was making, and he was acting in it and he scored the film. And he goes, I need an extra, you know, fifth member to my band in Europe for an 8-week tour. Will you come with us? And so I did. So I'm a member of Tarantula, Tito and Tarantula forever. But he told me, he said, wait till you see. Opening night was in Paris. We were in Italy, all over Europe. But he said, you know, once you get a taste for Europe, you will never want to come back. They really treat you with a reverence, and they will always support you. And he was so right. And so with every album after that, they remembered me as a member of Tito and Tarantula. So when I do go back, the way they promote you is Zorro Girl from Sin City, because I play Dallas in Sin City, the 1 and 2. I'm so proud of that role. I am Zorro Girl. And then member of Tito and Tarantula. So they really know how to promote you with the movie association, mm-hmm. and the film, the Tito and Tarantula association, because they do so well in Europe. You know, they're known as the From Dusk Till Dawn vampire band, right? And so to be forever associated with my hero, you know, it was like touring with Dylan. He was my Dylan. And as the Cruzados, they did play with Dylan. So it's a small circle.
Well, speaking of small circle, this is kind of tangential, so I'll just mention it briefly. So the Cruzados were produced by the first two albums were produced by Rodney Mills, who I've worked with over the years for a long time. He made his mark as the Southern rock producer and engineer. So like all the Allman Brothers and Lynyrd Skynyrd records and 38 Special. But then he went on this sort of independent producer phase. And so the Cruzados were the first band that he really produced that was outside of that sort of Southern rock genre. And a very genial guy, just really, really cool guy. You have to ask those guys about Rodney Mills sometime. Speaking of music now, last year you're working with these two other Latina singer-songwriters. Who is, if I can get the names here right here, there's Tish Hinojosa and Stephanie Urbina Jones. You released Texicana Mamas, and somehow that led to a standing ovation at the Grand Ole Opry. Can you tell us about that project?
Yes, we started that 3 years ago accidentally. It was my first trip to Nashville, and we were performing like a singer-songwriter in the round during Hispanic Heritage Month. But at the end of the show, we realized that our stories, it was like a storytelling evening, all of our stories matched and really echoed each other. And we're all from San Antonio, right? And the ironic thing is the same night, Rosie Flores was in the audience and joined us on stage. And she's from San Antonio. So to have 4 women from San Antonio, Texas, in Nashville at the Bluebird performing on stage, that was a magical circle. So we decided to keep it going. We named our band that night. We even got our first booking there last night, that night. And then 3 years later, every year we would play the Bluebird because that's where it all started, thanks to them, the legendary Bluebird Cafe. And just recently in September, they asked us to play the Grand Ole Opry together, representing San Antonio, Texas, during Hispanic Heritage Month. I thought that was very, very generous of them to do that. And yeah, we did release our debut album during COVID last year, and we made like 5 music videos on our iPhones in quarantine, and I was editing them feverishly to get them out. And it was just, you know, a gift again, Manfred, a gift to the world. The most basic need that people need right now is food on the table, you know, and shelter and health, good health, right? And when that happened, everyone was in such a global darkness. Wow, it really brought you back to realize what is important in life, right? And so it was the perfect time to bring out music, a new album. And I felt that this was a perfect time to bring out a Christmas album, you know, to share with the world in such a dark time. I've had people say, oh, I can't wait to hear your album. I hope it makes me believe in Christmas again. Wow, how profound is that?
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned Rosie Flores. In fact, we've spoken briefly or touched on a lot of the folks you have on the record, including Ruben Blades and Alex Ruiz. But with Rosie Flores, you co-wrote Santa's on a Rampage, our coolest song of the world this week. Is that right?
Absolutely. She's always my go-to person. She's my sister in arms. We are soul sisters. And when Scott Plunkett sent back that first song that made me realize this is not going to be a single, she's my go-to. So I said, let's write a song. She brought me that fantastic raucous title, and it really wrote itself quite fast. I went to her house and we just wrote it out, stream of consciousness, and we were laughing. You could just imagine us laughing so hard. And then we got the thought, Rosie, let's ask Roland Sally to play bass on this. And he did. And he just recently sent us his, during soundcheck, he filmed himself on his iPhone to send me his video so he could be in the video. And Tommy Price, I had just met him right outside of COVID. He moved to our hometown of San Antonio, and I got to meet him in person. I said, you would be perfect for 2 of my songs on my new album. Are you available? He goes, of course I'm available. I'm itching to play. We've been in quarantine all this time.
and let's remind folks about Tommy, his resume, let's say, for many, many years. In fact, he's still playing, I think, with Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, or as a Blackheart. He's also done lots of session work and played with all kinds of other artists over the years.
Yes, Billy Idol, Rebel Yell. I mean, he showed me, and Scandal, but he showed me the Big Pink snare drum. He calls it the Big Pink. He says he only pulls it out for special occasions, but it's his, you know, his lucky charm. He still had blood splattered on it.
You know, well, that's either rocket. Really cool or really gross.
I thought it was really cool. I said, keep it on there. That is magical. I mean, again, people don't realize how musicians give their sweat and blood to put music out there. I'm not kidding. To put out an album is you give your whole heart, sweat, and blood. You really do. And it's like, you know, for all these musicians to climb on board during quarantine, to take the time to say yes to me on this album for the world. I mean, it brings me to tears. I mean, I fell to the ground when Ruben Blades, he had a hectic schedule filming from 5 a.m. till 6 p.m. He told me, he said he could barely see straight. They had him on a rigorous schedule. He took the time to go to New York on his own time to go into a studio for some other artists too, but he fit me in. And not only that, he co-wrote, he sent it back with a whole section of new lyrics singing my name. Con Patricia, yo te invito. I fell to the floor and cried. I mean, that takes effort and generosity. What generosity. And Steve Ferroni to take the time out to record on Christmas Without You and Alone on Christmas Day, which is a very important song. Carmine Rojas too, that song is about the homeless. People that, here we have an epidemic in Austin. On any given night, over 2,000 people are on the street. And the video is about, it's gonna be premiered soon, but I mean, that's what I start with, that statistic. On any given night, you'll find over 500,000 people in the nation homeless. People that don't have a happy Christmas. That's what my album's about. It's not all, you know, Sunshine and Roses, it really spotlights the food bank. It spotlights, you know, people that communities here in Austin, the community first village that it started with one food truck. That's what that song was about, Alone on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. That here in Austin, there's an entity that helps take homeless people and give them permanent housing. If you only look for it, it's there, and you just donate to help instead of throwing up your arms and saying, get those people off the street, put them in jail. That's not the answer. And so that is Alone on Christmas Day that I wrote with David Grissom, that was really close to my heart. And Steve Ferroni plays on drums on it, from Tom Petty's band, and Carmine Rojas plays bass on that song. And I think it's very important to write songs like that to remind people what's important, the spirit of Christmas, giving, not shutting them out.
You mentioned when you were growing up that your mom would bring out the guitar, and although English was the first language in the home, so Spanish is the second language, and she's teaching you these songs, and you have several songs in Spanish on the album. What was making the determination whether to sing a song in Spanish or English? Did that depend? I mean, when you were enlisted Ruben Blades, it was like, well, that he was, you know, the lyrics were going to be in Spanish from the outset, or what was the determination?
Usually on every album, they're all bilingual. Because you know why? The Cruzados from East LA always had a Spanish song on their album. That's what made me think of that all those years ago. I'm not kidding, Manfred. So I'm like, wow, that's a way to let people know about my heritage, to just have, you know, sprinkle it with some Spanish songs. So on every album, there's three or four. On this one, the same. So
well, my question though is the song itself, when you're thinking of a song, the song, you come up with a melody first or lyrics first, and certainly if the lyrics first are, the lyric idea is Spanish, then obviously it follows that it's Spanish. But if the melody or the idea comes up, the music first, or what sets the direction as to what language you think would be most appropriate?
Well, for this one, Las Posadas, that was a no-brainer because Las Posadas is in Spanish. It is a passion play that every year it's celebrated all over Latin America and here. And I knew that would be perfect for Ruben because it's the nativity journey, but it is in Spanish. Mm-hmm. It's translated to mean the inns, you know, where they go from inn to inn to find a safe place for Jesus to be born. And so that was all automatically, it's been done before, let's put it that way, many, many, many times, Las Posadas. Yeah. They have Las Posadas songs. But this one, I really wanted to have Ruben sing on it. And he does an amazing job. And we just finished a music video in animation with my original illustrations. And I'm collaborating with my friend, Johnny Villarreal. We just finished it last night. We're just putting on the credits, but it's all animation. But that one definitely was already in Spanish. So I knew that would be Noche Buena. I just knew I needed three Spanish songs. So I immediately went to Alex Ruiz of Del Castillo. We always love writing Spanish songs together. Mm-hmm. And so I just thought Noche Buena, meaning Christmas Eve, was beautiful. And the melody just came to me. So usually I start with the title or just sometimes mm-hmm. the melody came out. And then Cumbia Navidad, I had already written that a couple years ago for my hometown of San Antonio River Parade. Rosie was on it, Tish Hinojosa, Stephanie, we all had our own River Parade, but the prerequisite was you had to write an original Christmas song. So that was written in 2019, but it found a home on this album. And that one sings Christmas, Merry Christmas in 10 languages. That song is the song where I really wanted it to be an inclusive song. Again, you know, this country is built on, you know, with immigrants, you know, why shut them out? It's like this song, Cumbia Navidad, I say it in Greek and the chorus itself is in Spanish, Italian, and French. The chorus alone, Feliz Navidad, Bon Natal, Joyeux Noël. And then by the end, I'm singing it in Chinese, Japanese, Greek, Hawaiian, Melekelikimaka. I mean, I have it all over the place, but it's such a joyous, ebullient song to remind everyone, come on, we're in this together.
You mentioned Christ Child, one of the tunes already. And I was thinking, we also been speaking about childhood, Christmas has passed. So religion, pretty important to your family growing up?
Yes, we are Catholic, Mexican-American Catholics. And very important. My mother, while my father was traveling 6 days out of the week, selling cookware, like I said, door to door, we were at home. She, in the evenings, we would pray a rosary, gigantic rosary that was, you know, we would each say the rosary together. It was a very special time, a very, you know, we never knew, you know, it's hard to know, you know, dad could get in a car wreck of coming home. So it was always very anxiety ridden when he would go out on the roads for so long. And my mom, you know, at home being the authoritarian, being the mother, being the teacher, being the father, being everything for all of us at one time. So faith was so important. And she made us realize how important it was, that circle of prayer every single night as my father would be, you know, traveling and ironically going house to house, just like Las Posadas. That's the story of Las Posadas, being turned away every time they'd go to an inn to find a place for Jesus to be born. That's my dad going house to house to sell cookware to bring money home for all of us.
Yeah, that is such a hard job, right? as you've mentioned, of course, you can visualize that. And yet 10 kids, I mean, he must have been good at what he did, right? I mean, you guys seemed to have a big loving family. And
he always taught us quality time was more important than quantity time. And he was right. And now he does real estate in San Antonio. So that turned over. And my mom is, you know, she's retired. And he talked me into getting my real estate license. And again, I'm helping Mexican family, Mexicanos, find rentals right now, which is really hard. Again, it's Las Posadas, trying to find a home, being turned away.
And you're doing that in Austin or in San Antonio?
In Austin,
yeah. Yeah, because I just saw a headline about how outlandish things are in Austin right now. I mean, I'm here in Los Angeles, and of course, things are wackadoodle, but that's not atypical for the time that I've been here in the city since like just 2006 or so. You know, there was the economic, the bubble burst, and then things, you know, adjusted for a short while. And then after that, they're back at the same level as they were before the housing bubble burst now. In fact, they're worse.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this cut too, my favorite holiday. And I don't think that we've touched on that one yet. And I love the idea of the song, you know, your lover being a favorite holiday, sort of encompassing the great things of every holiday, the things those holidays conjure up. How'd you get the idea for that one?
Cole Porter, you're the top, you're a Waldorf salad. You're the Colosseum, you're a Berlin ballad. How fun was that song? How beautiful is that song? And he's, you know, gushing. That's where I got the idea. I've always loved that song. And I always wondered, gosh, what, let's write one for the Christmas album. And that's how it came to be. You know, you're gushing about this person you love. They're every holiday. They're your favorite holiday. Why? You know, you're my Thanksgiving, my turkey, my pumpkin pie, everything on the side. That's where it came from, Cole Porter. Influence that. And I think everyone feels that way. You know, a lot of people, you know, their favorite holiday, they have to have a favorite holiday. So it could be any holiday.
Well, I want to talk about Old Man Santa in a moment. But first, what are your Christmas plans for this year?
Oh, every Christmas is with my mom and dad. Yeah, they're my everything. And then my siblings that can come and have about 20 people in the home. So every Christmas, I think that's my life. You know, my parents, I'm so blessed to still have them. They inspire me every day.
Is there anything on top of your personal wish list you're hoping that the jolly old elf will leave around the tree?
I have everything I need. This Christmas album was my gift. You know, to be honest, for all these amazing musicians, and I would love to name them again, Ricto Castillo, my producer, Steve Ferroni, Carmine Rojas, Scott Plunkett, Roland, Sally David, Grissom, Rosie Flores, everybody, Ruben Blades, Alice Ruiz, that is my gift. They've already given me my gift for every Christmas yet to come. And you know what? It's a gift to the world forever.
Now we can only play one more track off My Favorite Holiday, and I'd like us to hear Old Man Santa. Album's closer, it features, or I touched on Tommy Price on the drums there. So how did this one come together?
Oh my gosh. Okay. My older brother, Robert, the film director, we were talking about having the most raucous, barn burning, skanky song on this album. And so I went to Ricto Castillo, my producer, and my blueprint was, remember that song from In Excess and Jimmy Barnes, Good Times. Gonna have a good time tonight. Rock and roll music's gonna play all night.
Right, that's the cover of the Easy Beat song.
Oh my gosh, that song has never left me. So I wanted to write a song like that for Santa Claus, you know, to come into town and throw down in his hot rod. And so Rick Del Castillo and I and Alex Ruiz, we wrote that song, and that's where it came from. Santa's gonna throw down. He's getting his hot rod, and he's going. He's going.
He's ripping it up. What is it now? He used to drive a Chevy, but now he rides, what is it?
He used to drive a Chevy and rides a Coupe de Ville. Oh, man, oh, Santa blazing down the track, back full of goodies and a guitar on his back. Wow.
Oh, yeah. That's it, lady. That's it. You got it. You got it.
Such a great duet. I've always wanted to do a duet like that, like raucous, blow it out, little Stevie style. I mean, you know, it's like, wow, let's go. Woohoo.
Well, Patricia, thank you so much for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Thank you so much, my mighty man, Fred. Feliz Navidad.
Well, wishing you the merriest of Christmases and the happiest of holidays.
You too. Thanks for listening, y'all.
Well, let's give a listen now to Old Man Santa off the album My Favorite Holiday. It's Patricia Vaughn and Little Stevens, Underground Garage.
Come and rock, come and roll, 'cause old man Santa's in a hot rod. Old man Santa cruising down the hill, used to drive a Chevy, now rides a Coupe de Ville.
That was some of Old Man Santa from Patricia Vaughn here in Little Stevens Underground Garage. The cut is off of her Christmas album, My Favorite Holiday. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Patricia for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. And thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. Next time around, I'll be speaking with Lisa Michaels, singer-songwriter from Long Beach, California, who's teamed up with UK's Super 8. And together, they have a new Christmas single out now called A Very Merry Christmas. We'll find out all about it on your next Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Stevens Underground Garage.
In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.